Coming up next to the stage, Miss Maggie Wagner.
So I don't think I took the fan fiction as literal as I possibly could, but this was because I was a replacement. I only got brought in today, so I had to scan my stuff and see like, oh, what counts? So this is going out to all the Trekkies, of which I am hugely one. In fact, if you are searching Google, you will probably, if you type in the words "Lady Wesley Crusher," you will find me somewhere with a rainbow sweater and a tricorder and a derpy look on my face. It's a really cool picture somebody got of me with a Beverly Crusher, and I said, "Mom!" It was awesome. So this is called Holodorks, or Visor Envy. Televisions were much smaller long ago in the bygone era of 1993. Reception was much spottier too, and the sound quality wasn't so Dolby surround. You might have to fiddle with your antenna to get the picture to stand still in 1993, and some of you might say that was the year I was born, and I will scoff because that's surely creatures as young as you cannot exist, but I digress. Our technologies may have been a shadow of your current 20 years sleeker and more intuitive devices, but we knew touch screens and Google Glass were in our future because they were already inhabiting our fuzzy screens as all of us tuned into Star Trek The Next Generation. Well, maybe not all of us, but at least three 11-year-old girls, drawn together by our lack of athleticism, scholarliness, and ability to read social cues. So we were glued to the television each week. I, with the thick glasses and the mouth crank speech impediment. Sarah was heavy set and asthmatic. And Dina, tiny, black, and soft-spoken. We founded our own Starfleet against the specter of advancing algebra and well-dressed children who seemed to sniff out our thrift store clothes. I crafted little communicator buttons out of cardboard and the backs of clip-on earrings that I found in a Tupperware box full of them. In my grandmother's craft closet, they clip nicely onto t-shirt necks. She'll never miss these, I thought, and I pocketed them, and a number of doll eyes and doll hands. She was very crafty. And we'd stake out a ridge in the parking lot snow mound just off the playground at recess, and we may have had the idea of enacting our own space adventures, but in all honesty, we never made it past bartering who got to be who. Dina would swiftly call dibs on the empathic mind-reading abilities of part human, part psychically endowed ship's alien counselor, Troy. Of all of us, she was the peacekeeper, so it made sense. However, Sarah and I would narrow our eyes and haggle over our favorites every single time. I want Geordi's souped-up visor vision. You got the visor last time. You should get Android strength this time. I was the one who brought my dad's wraparound sunglasses. I get to wear them. You could totally be Wesley Crusher. He was the smartest. Not fair! So, at no point in our arguing did it ever occur to us that we were in a battle for anything other than the finest superpowers. These heroic attributes of, like, futuristic, well-adjusted teammates. In the future, all ailments and debilitating neuroses were distilled into that individual's best quality blind character, Geordi. LaForge pilots the vessel and is given the ability to see the entire human spectrum and beyond. And a machine, Data, performing complex operations free of any trace of human fear or doubt. How about our alien Paul Worf? With the face ridges. He was embraced without question by the very community of people who might have been his enemies several short franchise films ago. And the biggest bad guy in this universe was Homogeny. Join and be one with the Borg. You really have no choice. So, these characters were wholly accepted beyond their battles and esteemed in a way that we playground kids were not. We may have argued for the benefits of that pair of wraparounds. I mean visors. But I don't think any of us would have demanded the role of Geordi sans visor. And we probably would not have found emotionless banter half as endearing had it come had it not come from an Android programming, but as it usually does, product of brain chemistry. Think about it. Thousands of years of advancement couldn't deter heavily made-up extras from pointing to the motley crew invading their planet via shimmery beams and demanding to know, what are those things? And it was harder to be inclusive in 1993. Actually reaching out to a disabled person wasn't as easy as the future made it appear. Remember, this is just public school, and most kids with ailments, the ailments that we envied so darn much were cloistered away in special classrooms. It's the kind of educational system that gives really good lip service to the idea of widening your definition of different and seeing difference in yourselves. But it also knows full well that kids are cool. And we will fling canned pineapple when we see disfigurements and impediments and canned pineapple at the very least. So, we stayed in the parking lot, encountering alien races from the snow mound where our away team beamed so frequently. And now that I think of it, that's exactly how we found each other. We were the only kids who didn't openly mock the strange children playing with paper towel tube phasers. Joining Starfleet was much easier in the 20th century than it would be in the 24th, but a lot of kids wouldn't be caught dead. So, the impression Star Trek helped us to absorb back in 1993 and why I think it's so lastingly great is that informing that enviable squad, it was the work of tireless effort, not just like dumb luck of holding the scratched pair of wraparounds. And if we three 11-year-old girls could have taken our own shortcomings and traded them up, we probably would have jumped at the chance. But, think of any Star Trek episode you've ever seen, where the guest players handed some magical device to make them younger and powerful and fun at parties. And they're mighty for that fleeting moment, and then they're brought low by their own ill-preparedness. Remember the old guy that got younger? Or Wesley Crusher's shape-shifting Harry Beast space princess? And each of them were brought low. Meanwhile, our favorite spandex officers would just take every temporal loop in stride and immediately return to work on that malfunctioning warp drive. Don't worry about visors, they were telling us. Just perform your damn duty, all right? You never know when the captain's going to give you a warm pat on the shoulder and tell you to engage. Thanks.
Star Trek is